Thursday, June 24th. The New York Times papers are still the main subject of attention. The president is concerned that the same thread is running through all the stories and that we're not handling it simply enough. He feels that we should boil it down to the specific points that these documents don't involve this administration, that the acts cover the period that was in the Johnson and Kennedy period, that they were classified, the documents were classified top secret by Johnson and Kennedy, that Congress set the law for declassification, that no newspaper or government official should put himself above the law in deciding to declassify. The reason for classification is not the protection of any administration, this or a previous, but rather the protection of our national security. Only those documents that involve national security will remain classified. He feels we haven't gotten that story across and that we need to really work to counter the effort that the opposition is generating. That Ziegler has always got to keep repeating these lines. He thinks the court story now makes it look like we're involved. Also, there was a Christian Science Monitor editorial saying that we're hiding, trying to cover up stuff from the 50s, the Eisenhower period. Conley raised the point on the boat last night that someone should get to LBJ and talk to him quickly on the point that he's so mad now about this that he might very well want to give us some other information, that particularly regarding Kennedy and Diem's murder. Conley indicated that he felt quite sure that Kennedy had ordered the murder and that he remembered the phone call at Hyannisport, which confirmed the action. He also wanted Colson to hit Paley on the point that Cronkite was allowing Ellsberg to cover all of his story, and Cronkite didn't challenge it at all, particularly the point that this administration's on the same path as the previous ones in the war. He also thought the VP ought to build the point that just one secret paper getting out that compromises a source or a code could cost lots of American lives, and that we have to protect the papers for that reason. He feels we need a full team on the project that he wants to get started of declassifying the documents from World War II, Korea, Bay of Pigs, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and so on. And he asked for a suggestion on who could run it, and I raised the idea of Dick Allen, which he bought completely and wants us to get going on. He also asked that we go back and read his speech on the Hiss case at the time and get down to some of the lines that he used then, that we've got to get people scared about the fact that it really is dangerous to the country to have these materials leaked. We took off at midday for the trip to Indiana, where the president did the dedication ceremony for the plaque or historical marker commemorating his mother's home. He gave an excellent little talk in the courthouse square, and the whole thing came off extremely well as a bit of rural Americana. There was a big crowd, very enthusiastic Heartland-type people. The principal of the school was the MC. The little girl who was the chairman of the Junior Historical Society introduced the president. And at the end, the band played God Bless America while everybody sang together. Then the president followed through on his plan to drive from there to Indianapolis rather than taking the helicopter back. We had given no advance notice, and our subterfuge worked well. We had only the press pool with us and got rid of Governor Whitcomb and the other VIPs. So worked fine. I rode in the car with the president. Unfortunately, it was hot as the dickens, and with the glass top and sides of his car, it got hotter and hotter inside. We kept looking for opportunities to stop on the unannounced route, and finally found some in the form of a little local newspaper office where they had heard on the police radio ahead of time that we were driving in and had whipped up a sign on wrapping paper saying, "Welcome, Mr. President and Max," which referred to Max Friedersdorf of our staff, who was born in Jennings County and was a friend of the editor of the paper. So the president stopped there and chatted with the newspaper staff for a little while. Then we drove on, saw a bunch of old ladies standing on the road, and stopped to talk to them, discovered they were from a old folks' home, Presbyterian deal. And that worked out perfectly, too. There were quite a few people along the way as the word got out by radio that we were coming. And overall, I think it was well worthwhile doing it. But both the president and I were dripping wet and really hot by the time we got to the hotel in Indianapolis. Fortunately, there was time to take a shower and get cleaned up. The Hovde dinner came out fine. On to Chicago, Mayor Daley met us at Migs Field and rode in with the president to the hotel. And as the president described it later, it was a real comic opera operation. Daley is just unbelievable. He had the fireboats out with spraying red, white, and blue water. And when we arrived at the hotel, he had his Mayor Daley bagpipe band out in front playing for us. Apparently the president had a good chat with him about number of local and national issues. Daley made the point strongly that he was with the president all the way on foreign policy. And the president was very pleased with him. He asked me to call Daley the next morning, tomorrow morning, to follow up on a couple points of problems that Daley had. We had a flap because a couple hours before we arrived, a man was found carrying two guns in Grant Park along the route we would have taken to the Blackstone where we usually stay, but didn't stay tonight. The police got into a gun battle with him and shot him 8 times, killing him. And that created a bit of a local stir. Earlier today, we had more of the problem of Rogers and the Kissinger trip, finally ending up with my telling Rogers that there is a reason for Henry to be going to India and Pakistan, that there's a development via Yahya, who has a personal communication for the president that he wants to deliver to a high-level emissary. Rogers didn't really completely buy the line. He said the president had hinted this to Keating, that he still had serious reservations, that we have a huge flap with India regarding the shipments to Pakistan, and he thought that Haig ought to do this instead of Kissinger, and that this was a pretty high price to pay to transmit a message. I left it with him, however, that this was the decision, and we were going to have to go with it on this basis. So I think he now understands that. End of June 24th.